This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
E te ti, e te ta, tēnā koutou katoa, nau mai ki Plains FM. I te ao, I te pō, are, are mai o taringa. E aha te kaupapa.
Tēnā koutou katoa, nā mihi nui ki te koutou katoa. Welcome to So Many Stories, brought to you by Ngā Kite Wānanga o Ōtautahi, Christchurch City Libraries. I'm Namita.
And I'm Shannon.
And in this episode, we step outside of the more conventional library spaces to showcase the Christchurch City Libraries Outreach and Learning Team.
That's right. The Outreach and Learning Team delivers a range of services to community and residential groups, members of which might otherwise struggle to access their local library. From early childhood education and care centres to charities and not-for-profit organisations to rest homes and more. In terms of this episode, we're actually very lucky because our own Namita works as a community librarian in the Outreach and Learning Team.
I do. And as a community librarian, I spend a lot of my time out and about in the community. Over the past couple of weeks, I've made sure to take a field recorder with me out so that listeners can experience a little of what I and the Outreach and Learning Team do day to day. But before we take you out on our tour, here's Outreach and Learning Team Leader Katie Brazil with a quick overview of our work.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm Team Leader for Outreach and Learning. We're a team of eight and we provide programming and library services out in the community across the city. We cover babies to older adults and everybody in between. We offer preschool programs to support early literacy. And our library van and team visit primary schools to provide access to library books and library resources and literacy sessions. A new thing for us in the adult space is the shared reading group. We've got these both at the community library Linwood and out at rest homes. Shared reading group is a way to bring literature to people that would not normally have access to it. It's a relaxed group where you get to share a piece of writing or a poem with each other and just talk about what it means to you. Out in the summer, we visit a lot of community events. You'll see us out on the road promoting summertime reading for our tamariki across the city. There's always a member of the outreach team out and about in the community, so if you see one of us, make sure you come over and say hi. We look forward to meeting you.
Thanks, Katie. It's time now to head out to the first stop on our tour, and that stop is Kilmarnock Enterprises, an Ōtautahi-based social enterprise that creates employment and development opportunities for Kiwis with intellectual disabilities. In this clip, Library Assistant Tony Campion-Cusack chats with HR Wellness and Training Manager Marionette and employee Monique.
After that, we're going to hear from one of our beautiful characters and library fan, Joan, who is an example of the important service that our library outreach van and our new Tokona to Kaika Homelink service provides to keep people connected with our library resources.
Kia ora, my name is Tony Campion-Cusack. We are now going to interview Marionette and Monique at Kilmarnock Enterprises, where the library van has been visiting for the last few years. Hi, Marionette.
Hi, Tony. I'm Marionette Cheney, the HR Wellness and Training Manager, and my role and focus has been on the well-being of our staff and introducing the library to them.
That's great. And what impacts and values do you think that the library and the sessions have had on your employees?
It helps them with their literacy and numeracy. It's something that they won't try if we don't give them or create that opportunity in the workplace. So by having the van visiting here and having talks, they actually learn a bit more and thoroughly enjoy it.
And do you think that it has been a successful service?
It has been successful. We don't have a lot of employees that take part in using the van, but those who does really enjoy it, and they are introduced to a variety of books and audio.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Marionette. Over to you, Monique.
Hi, Tony.
You're one of the employees at Kilmarnock Enterprises.
Yes, I am.
Can you just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you do at Kilmarnock Enterprises?
I'm Monique Kinley. I work in the food department and that, and do other jobs and that.
Do you enjoy using the library van?
Yes, I do.
And what sort of books do you like to borrow?
Romance, action. Sometimes there's a sci-fi one. I'll try to get a sci-fi one out and that.
Well, that's great. And what do you think your co-workers think about using the library van?
Pretty awesome. If I encourage them to come out and sign up and join the app.
And have a chat.
Yes, had a chat.
That's great. Thanks, Monique.
You're welcome, Tony.
I'm Joan Rendell. I'm 97, going on 98, I fear. And I've lived in Christchurch for about 60 years. I suppose I've been fortunate with people. I just seem to have a lot of interesting people around. And as long as they keep on coming, mind you, they've just about stopped coming because there are not many of them left in my age group. And I've been here about 5 or 6 years. I had a house round and it's only for people who don't have a property to sell and don't have a lot of money in the bank. And I qualified, and my life has worked out very pleasantly.
Brilliant. Mm. And I had the privilege or the absolute pleasure to meet you when we brought the library van to Cobham Village a few months ago.
Yes. Well, I am spoiled so rotten with the girls in the van. They are amazing. And they come once a fortnight. And I have piles of books over there, as you can see, waiting to be read and read. And usually my helper takes them out to the library, and they just bring me 10 or a dozen books every fortnight. Yeah. And it does my heart good, because the librarian, now what was her name, the one that you've been talking to?
Tony?
Yes. She said, oh, Joan, I remembered you said you love gardening, and I've brought you this book on gardens. And they very seldom include a book that I'm not interested in. I love lots of things, and I love people who move around and meet people from other countries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they bring me 10 books, usually I read the 10. But if this, as I said to her the other day, I was talking, and I said, well, the only thing is my father was affected by World War One, and I was very much affected by World War Two, because so many of the men I played tennis with and went to dances with all went overseas. And so I said, I'm not very keen on war-y books. Mm. And she hasn't ever given me a lot. But she said, oh, well, but fancy remembering that I loved gardening.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there's something special about people who choose to be librarians. I have never, and I've met a lot of librarians, because years ago when the library down at Barrington Street was just a standalone children's library on its own, I used to go down there a lot because I took my children down to choose books every week. And I finished up volunteering and doing some work down there. And ever since, I've been working in libraries very interested in libraries.
Yeah.
And I just think the work that you people do, it absolutely amazes me. And it doesn't seem to matter where you turn or where you go. There's somebody that remembers me from the library. Or I have a very good friend who was a librarian here for a long, long time. Mm. And she'll do anything for me.
Yeah.
You know, if I rang her up and said, I want to go to Hoka Ticket, she'll say, oh, well, I'll be round in an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I feel very privileged.
Oh, brilliant. Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I went into the library one day, and here, into the van, but I found I read so many books. I love fiction, especially when families pack up and go to another country and the children go to school and you hear all about another type of lifestyle.
Yeah.
That really appeals to me. Even though I've got friends who will take me to the library, I've got to the stage now where I can do everything I want to do, but standing around for any length of time has become difficult.
Yeah.
And girls in the library van said, well, look, we'll bring your books in. I felt as though it was Christmas and birthdays and everything. It was the best gift anyone could give me. And I just, when they come up now and I see the library van come up on a Monday, and I think, oh, bliss. And my helper usually takes the books out, and one of the girls out there bring the books in. But I feel like giving them a hug every time they come in. Yeah. No, it's a wonderful service. Yeah. Come and see me anytime.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tony, Marionette, Monique and Joan. From older adults like Joan to wee ones now, we are heading to Sydenham Preschool. We're going to hear from teacher Nikki and Tu Tamariki, the vivacious four-year-old star in the making Marley and the strong and silent three-year-old Nate. They'll be talking about Library Susan's visits and making badges.
Alrighty, so we are down here at the Sydenham Community Preschool, and I am sitting here with Nikki and with our Tu Tamariki, Marley and Nate. But Nikki, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm the Kayako at Sydenham Community Preschool, and it's a community-based preschool, so we work very closely in conjunction with our community and all our the whānau that come to our centre. And we have a really beautiful philosophy here, and we work really closely with the children's individual interests and the aspirations and cultural aspirations of the whānau.
Marley, do you want to tell us something about yourself?
I'm 4.
And Nate, how old are you?
I'm 3.
So have you met one of my friends who also works at the library, Susan?
Yeah. She did make time for us yesterday.
Nate, did you make something with Susan?
There's a badge.
What? Did you make a badge?
Yeah.
Marley, do you want to tell me about the badge that you made?
I did with Grey, and then Library Susan had a special make a thing and then made it as a badge.
Library Susan is a really valuable resource for us because we can actually quote, and we know we can contact her and tell her basically what interests and what resources we're looking at the moment, and she will put things together that help us facilitate that. We use the library to get resource books for our children. We use the library as a wonderful experience to go and find books that fit into what we're doing at the moment.
Like,
you know, when we're looking at sustainability and spring and growth, so we will take a trip down and see what we can find.
Kia ora, Nikki, Marley and Nate. Now, libraries are about connecting people, inspiring discovery and enriching communities. And I feel that the work that we do at the Outreach and Learning team really epitomises this. We will now hear from Jono, Dave and Michelle, who come down to the Commons every Wednesday. After that, we'll hear from Lisa at Drug Arm Art East. These are two crucial community programs that epitomise the importance of social connection and creativity and coming together to learn new things.
It's a beautiful sunny Wednesday here down at the Commons, and I'm here with Jono.
Kia ora, my name's Jono. I'm a community development worker with Housing First of Te Tahi. So I've been in the role for just over 12 months, and my role is to enable our kaiwa, our people, to get back involved in their local community and the wider community, and we do that either individually or by running projects such as the Commons every Wednesday down here on the corner of Kilmore and Durham Street. So the conversation came during COVID when a lot of our people who are sort of rough sleeping or the ones that we've housed were sceptical and didn't have the right information about the vaccinations, so they sort of chose not to. And then that obviously excluded them from entering the library. So initially it was just how we could bring the library to the people. The library outreach service was made available, so we knew we were onto something then. Having the support of the library and with Gap Filler. And then since then we've got Orange Sky on site to do the laundry and the showers. We've got White Room Creative. We've got yourself, you know, from the library team coming down. And we've got interest from other organisations just to come and do some of the mahi that they find it hard to do, you know, to come down and support our community. So with these people that come down, these organisations just get amongst and immerse themselves with, you know, people in their community as well. So it's just a real organic space for people to come together and be safe and have a chat,
have a kai and just, yeah, have a positive experience during their week. So it's all just seeing people come together over something as simple as a badge maker, isn't it? And just, you know, everyone from different walks of life and everything just coming together and sharing the common need of connecting. And, you know, we do it around kai and, you know, creating the safe place. So we have music. Yeah, it's all go. And the art, you know.
Yeah, art, music, food.
Yeah. We've just completed a photo voice project that we did with our kaiwa. So if you check out the Housing First or Te Tahi website, you'll see a link to the WHD exhibition. Click on that. It'll just give you some of the insight from the stories that our people are telling their own stories, as opposed to, say, the media picking up a certain angle or something. So, yeah, we've used this as a start for next year and to build on it. The library, it's, as I say, you were with us from day one, not knowing what you were getting into, but it's cool to see, you know, your crew getting into it. It's been part of the community. Thanks, Namita.
Thanks, Jono.
You're welcome.
Kia ora whānau. My name's David William Murray. I'm actually from Kairai, which is in the far north of the North Island. Came down here for a change of scenery, more or less.
So why do you come down to the Commons?
One of the reasons why is because I'm homeless. Yeah, this is the main one I come to because it got art supplies, and especially with me, if I ain't working, I like to draw or do anything.
Because you were just painting over there.
Yep.
What are you painting?
Some of the old things I used to put on walls when I used to love doing graffiti.
Cool. All right. Well, kia ora, Dave. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next week.
Yep.
All right. So, Michelle, here at the Commons, I met you and we've made
some badges for doing dots on in like Aboriginal anyway. So that's really quite cool about that.
So what do you like about the Commons?
It's good to go down there because I met Jono years ago anyway. He helped me with my bicycle because I know people down here, right? And it's quite safe, right? But quite good coming down here.
What do you like about libraries?
The reason why I like New Brosnan Library in the town one, I sit out there and put headphones on and listen to music and watch the sea go through.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the couches?
On the couches, it's all right because people let it go there. Sometimes people have a little rest because they need some time out, eh? So that's quite cool. But it's all right for a few hours.
Because you can just go to a library and hang out and chill.
You can hang out and chill, especially in New Brighton Library, because it's more space to look at the sea and look at the people, and people need time out, they can go down there. I find it really quite cool down there.
I am here on He Hononga at Tūranga on the ground floor. I've got the privilege to be here with Liz. Liz, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, kia ora, Namita, thank you. Yes, my name is Liz and I am the coordinator of the Art East space over in Aranui. And Art East is an initiative of Drug Arm, which is, the Drug Arm is an acronym for Drug Awareness Relief Movement. So thank you for having me today.
Oh, wonderful. I actually didn't know that.
No, many people don't.
Yeah. And so I understand you have a special exhibition coming up.
We do have a special exhibition, and it's really exciting to be able to display these paintings, actually. So the exhibition is around the Recovery Garden, which was an initiative between Greening the Rubble and Odyssey House going back a few years ago, and this was on Manchester Street. The idea of it was being a therapeutic space that people could come and sit in the sun, be able to be in the garden space, be able to have a barbecue, connect with others, bring their families down. And it was really exciting because we were offered the opportunity to do some artworks down there. And initially it was just a few of them. We started pottering away on those artworks on some painted panels. So we ended up with approximately 20 pieces down there. But one of the exciting things is about being able to display it in the library is while the paintings were down there, the background stories as to why people chose to do the pieces that they did choose to paint, those stories weren't told. So in the library with this particular exhibition, we're going to have the paintings themselves now because the Recovery Garden moved on, but we will be able to display the photographs of all the paintings within the Recovery Garden space, and also the blurbs from the artists, what inspired them to create the paintings that they did and what the experience was like for them, also having people come down, see their works and displaying them in a public setting too. Quite a strong thing that came out quite accidentally actually when we were planning pieces was around the themes of bees, and people use the imagery of bees in their works and they use them as far as the flight of freedom, of change as well, and some of them also did other things around. One particular woman did paintings, her pieces being she wanted them to be seen from the Margaret Mahe garden for the children so that it would attract children to come over into the space with their families, bring them across and be able to just have something really fun and colourful within that space as well. So she did a lot of, she did ladybird and another bird, pieces that would attract children that were nice and bright as well. There's a very therapeutic element to creating artworks, and I'm very much about the process and not the product, and trying to give people the opportunity to try something different in a place that feels safe enough for them to express themselves and just try something different. And with that, trying something different gives the opportunity to be able to learn and to be able to gain skills to produce something that they're really quite happy with. And that sense of achievement that comes with creating a piece that they love, that's really exciting. And for a group of people who are in this particular art group that are displaying the exhibition, for a lot of them it's been focused on the things that they're doing, you know, not going so well in their lives, where this is around their strengths as well, and to be able to do that as a group and connect with others that are on the same journey as them, and then creating together, there's something very special about that.
Did you bring your group up to Awahatanga once?
Yes.
To do some creative stuff?
Yes, we have done, absolutely. A couple of times, actually, we've come up, which has been really, really fun. We were able to experiment with the director garment printer, and it was a lot of fun. The guys really, really loved it. So that was exciting. And just to be able to have the outreach library come down as well and do different activities too, it just... such a fantastic opportunity for people to try out a medium that they otherwise wouldn't have access to. And that's one of the things that I really love about being connected in with the library, is that I'm constantly telling people, did you know that this is all available? Did you know there's a music studio up there that you can book out? And so really, really exciting to be able to have these places to go where... really great for our people who have very limited funds as well, to be able to come in and access these types of materials and be able to have the opportunity to learn how to use them. Very exciting, and our people have absolutely loved it too, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was actually really cool how when we did our session recently designing stencils, how people adapted to using the iPad and using the Apple Pen. Just so quickly, because obviously just shows how creative they are and willing to try new things.
Absolutely, and it's quite a foreign thing for them too. That for the particular group that you're working with, and the ones that were in there, technology is not something that they're very familiar with. So to be able to have that in such an easy-to-use setup, just really beneficial, really great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jono, Dave, Michelle and Lisa. So while they're technically a different team, Ngā Ratonga Māori, Māori Services, share a home base with the outreach and learning team, and they also provide really valuable outreach services. For example, I recently accompanied some of the team out to Rehua Marae in order to deliver a Komatua program. Ngā Ratonga Māori also provide research and information services in order that people might learn more about their own communities and significant events in Aotearoa history. So with that in mind, here's Pō Kohikohinga Māori Ngāpiu on iwi research support groups and Kaitaka Waenga Mātakiwi on Parihaka, which of course we remember on November 5th.
Kia ora, I'm Ngāpiu, one of the Pō Kohikohinga Māori, a Māori collection specialist for Māori and Multicultural Services of Christchurch City Libraries. Today I'll be talking about Rangahaua Iwi. Our Rangahaua Iwi program is a monthly iwi research drop-in session. What that means is we will go through our Ngāpānamu Māori collection and pull out resources that connect to that month's iwi. We will have a discussion about some of the items that we have pulled, talk about how useful they are and what type of information someone might find in them. Then we will have either group discussions or spend some dedicated time with our attendees to see how we can best help them. Our rangahawa iwi sessions are just a general overview of iwi research, but those with specific inquiries can book us in for a one-on-one session for a more in-depth inquiry. Our next rangahawa iwi is Ngāti Toa on November the 17th from 6 to 7pm on Tuakiri, the second floor of Tūranga in our Ngāpānamu Māori collection. We have business cards placed on Tuakiri in the Ngāpānamu Māori collection for myself and the other pōkohu kohinga, or you can contact us in the Book a Librarian section on the Christchurch City Library's website. You just need to specify that you're looking for Māori content. Yeah.
Tēnā tātou I te whānau whakarongo mai nei. Ko Mātakiwi Wakefield toku ingoa, he kaitaka wainga hau kei rō I ngā whare pukapuka o ōtautahi. Kia ora, my name's Mātakiwi Wakefield and I'm a kaitaka wainga with the Māori Library Services here at Christchurch City Libraries. Today I want to talk to you about the importance of November, particularly amongst our Māori communities. For many New Zealanders, the 5th of November is Guy Fawkes Night. But for many Māori, particularly from Taranaki and the surrounding areas, it is the day that the Māori settlement of Parihaka was invaded by approximately 1,600 armed government troops. The settlement was established in the 1860s. And quickly became a refuge for many Māori who were expelled from their lands. The leaders were Te Whiti o Rongomai and his nephew, Tohu Kākahi. On the 5th of November 1881, over 1,600 government troops marched from the redoubt at Pungarehu into Parihaka. They were met by lines of small children singing and girls performing poi, while the adults sat quietly on the marae. Te Whiti and Tohu were arrested and held without trial for 16 months. During that time, Parihaka was systematically disestablished by the colonial government. They forced Māori not from that area to return home and restricted the movements and resources of those at the settlement. Descendants of Te Whiti and Tohu still live at Parihaka, which remains a symbol of passive resistance. And some years later, Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. were to adopt affirmative action through passive resistance.
Kia ora, Ngā Piu and Mata Kiwi. That brings us to the end of this episode. It's been a very special example of whanaungatanga, of kinship, connection and reciprocity. As Lisa mentioned, the Recovery Garden exhibition will open on Friday, the 18th of November. And Ngā Piu talked about the rangahaua iwi sessions, and this month it is focused on Ngāti Toa. This will be on the 17th of November from 6pm to 7pm. Also, if you know someone who may benefit from receiving library books delivered to their home as Joan does, have a look on our ChristchurchCityLibraries.com website or call 941-7923. And finally, show day is on Friday the 11th of November. All libraries will be closed except Tūranga, our central library, will be open.
We'll be back in December, but until then, thanks for listening. Thanks to everyone who supported us to produce this episode. A special thanks to Library Assistant Betty Satui for her work behind the scenes. See you next time.
One, two, three.
Bye!